Have you ever lost things and you wonder where you put them, or you've got a stack of things you need to go through and it's frustrating, or files that are just overflowing on your desk, or just in general, too much clutter in your life, mental, physical, and otherwise? Well, today, here's the one thing as we wrap up this week. Declutter your life starting now.
From the studios at the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author, founder of Intentional Living, and your advocate for the family. Joining Randy today is Lyndon and Sherry Garris, and they want to help you clear the clutter in your life. What's your story? Call 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Is there something kind of special about a desk when you get it all cleaned? You put everything away, you've thrown everything out that you don't need, and there it is. Don't you feel good? You know, that same feeling can happen when you clean your mind out of the clutter that you're carrying. Maybe you got relationships. There's too much clutter, unhealthy things in a relationship that need to be cleaned up here in 2015. You know, and this week we've been talking about the power of one thing and focusing on one thing for parenting and other areas of your life. And today, just sort of wrapping up this week, focusing on this one thing of clutter in general in your life. As again, it could be spiritual clutter or relational clutter. It could be clutter in terms of just your desk or your files or just life in general. And I know some of us tend to wrestle with this more than others. I do. My wife doesn't. She's really good at this. I tend to hang on to things, and I've analyzed myself, you know, and I've come to the conclusion the problem is you never know when you're going to need it. And isn't that true? You know, you say, if I throw that away, I may need it 6 years from now. Hello. And so that's true of things we carry in our minds as well. We cling on to things. And I'll tell you what, Satan can use the clutter in our life to keep us from really advancing and growing and living our best life in Him and experiencing God's intentionality for our lives. And so today, if nothing else, as we begin this year, already I'm sure some of you have gotten discouraged with the resolutions you made 9 days ago. But even today, to help us think about, let's get the clutter out of our lives. Let's simplify. Let's run the race, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the goal. And, you know, to do that, you got to forget the things sometimes that are behind or the things that are cluttering your life and set them aside. So we're going to get to Lyndon and Sherry here in just a moment. They've written a fine book on Declutter Now, and they're going to give us some practical help from the Intentional Living Center. We'd like to know your story. What are you doing to declutter your life here this year? Tell us about it at 888-888-1717 here at the Intentional Living Center.
I work all day and I come home and I want to spend time with the kids and my wife and all the things that that entails. And last thing I want to do is have to come home and pick up the stuff from the day. So when I get home, I don't like it. I don't like the cluttery mess with clothes laying all over or, you know, the kitchen or whatever.
Well, we have different problems in different areas. Like my husband has a problem with that. Like, he tends to leave his clothes around, and my problem is I don't always, you know, like cleaning, like vacuuming and mopping and stuff, I don't always get to that right away.
Mine is not one sweater. Mine will be three or four sweaters and then five or six pairs of pants at the bottom of my closet, piles of mail.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and we're about to declutter your life. It's one of the themes, one of the things that we're passionate about at Intentional Living, because ultimately you got to get something out of the way before you can put something good in there that's better for your health, your family, your relationship. So we invited a couple who have made this a passion of their own life to join us today and have written on it and teach on it and travel and tell others how to declutter now. So Lyndon and Sherry Garris are here from the Phoenix area in our Intentional Living studio. Welcome, guys. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You got a passion for this. And in front of me, I have your book, Declutter Now, and a study guide that goes along. Why would you guys spend time? I know you're busy and you got other activities and work and so on. Why is this a passion of your life?
Well, a few years ago, we had just begun dating, and we talked about, you know, what would you do if money didn't matter? That was the big question. You know, if you had $1 million, what would you do? Well, if money didn't matter, what would you do? And we decided we wanted to serve, and we weren't sure what capacity, but we wanted to serve. and why weren't we serving in the way we wanted to right now? What was holding us back? And so the conversation went on. We went through each different area of our life and found out what was holding us back and decided, well, we need to declutter each area in order to have the time and the money and the freedom and the energy to serve God in the way we wanted to.
What were some things, Lyndon, that as you guys were dating, getting ready for marriage, that came up as a clutter in your own life?
I think specifically for me, it was just physical items that I had accumulated over 20 years. Also, finances were a big part of my situation.
In terms of just having debt or just not knowing where the money was coming and going, that type of thing?
Absolutely. Debt, I had tax liens, I had IRS issues from a previous business. So I was walking through some really heavy financial issues that needed to be dealt with, I felt like, before we ever thought about marriage.
Yeah, which is good because it sounds like it was on the table. It wasn't hidden. It was out there. So you guys really opened up about some clutter in your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, it was also time and schedule. I was so inundated doing so much for so many people that it left very little time for me and for the things that I felt God was calling me to do.
Mm. So part of your pre-marriage counseling, it sounds like, was on the list, get some clutter out of the way so we can do what we feel called to do, which is to serve God as a couple, which I think is a reminder to many people who are dating, thinking of getting married. Think about the clutter you have in your life, what your purpose is, what your values are, why you do what you do. So how did that go? I mean, you guys are married now, and you've been working. Obviously, you've written books. How successful have you been personally in getting this done?
Actually, very successful. We made a commitment in the beginning to work through it, and we stuck with it, and we had each other, you know, to hold accountable, and that helped. And you know what? Also, sharing it and teaching it, it re-inspires mm-hmm. us every day, and the stories we hear and the feedback we get, it just fuels our passion. So it's actually been going really well.
And when you write about declutter, the first thought is a closet or a garage or, you know, a drawer. But clutter comes in so many various ways, doesn't it, Lyndon? I mean, it can be mental clutter, spiritual clutter. What are the kinds of clutter that you find as you work with people that keep them from being able to serve God more intentionally?
I believe the number one is relational clutter. People have people in their lives that literally they allow to just suck them dry, drain them. And that drain can come from emotional drain. It can be financial if it's somebody's taking advantage of somebody on a regular ongoing basis. And we find that people have a very hard time releasing somebody from their life. And it may just be for a season. It may be a time of healing. And there may need to be, you know, some definite forgiveness involved in that relationship before it can come back together. But sometimes we need to separate ourselves from individuals that are in our lives that are negatively impacting us on a regular basis.
And you know, that's such a hard thing to teach because we talk about expiration dates. And sometimes that happens. You have a friendship for a season, maybe built around your children or other activities and so on. But then as you find, as you grow, that relationship is not something that's a value add for them or for you, but it's not a friendship, which I try to encourage people to differentiate friendship from ministry, because there are people that you want to minister mm-hmm. to that have needs in their life. So you're going to reach out to minister to them, and you know that they can be draining, but you put boundaries in place. But when you have a friendship that drains you, then you have to ask the question, you know, what's my responsibility? How can I help this person at the same time not allow that to drain me from taking care of other priorities? Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, guys, we're going to get into some really practical stuff and get some ideas on how to get started with decluttering your life. And as you put it in your subtitle, so you can uncover the hidden joy and freedom in our lives. I think we all want that. So post your thoughts on our Facebook page, and you know what? You could win the Garris's book and study guide, Declutter Now. We have 8 of them to give away today. This question is posted on Facebook page. Share your thoughts under the post so we can easily find your entry, and we'll notify the winners coming up on Monday. And a link to it from our highlights page at theintentionallife.com.
What I'm going to do with my clutter is go through and I'm going to take pictures of everything. And then once a year, I'm going to, you know, go ahead and release those items, donate them to Goodwill or whatever I need to do. And then I'm going to create a scrapbook, something that I have accessible to me whenever I'm feeling down or whenever I want to remember my childhood. I can grab that scrapbook and look through the pictures and reminisce and then be on with my life. Me and my husband, my two kids, and I'm expecting another one. And I just can't get organized. We just moved from my in-law's place, and their place is pretty much disorganized, and I got into that mindset, and then I just can't seem to get organized now, and I also can't get my kids to pick up after themselves.
Well, I feel like a total failure, you know, that I'm not able to do what it seems like, you know, everybody else can do, have a clean house and be able to maintain a house.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. If you just joined us, we're having a great discussion about declutter. You know, early in this year, we're getting started, and I know that resolutions come and go, but I hope this resolution to say, hey, you want to put some clutter out of your life so you can bring in some healthy things so you have time to really focus on what God has for you will become a priority. And we have here in the studio with us today at Intentional Living, Lyndon and Sherry Garris, and they've written a book and a study guide on Declutter Now. And by the way, if you want to know more about them and what they do, you can check it out at our website. Come to theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights there, and you can find out more. Appreciate you guys being with us. Now, let's get really specific. Let's start with some physical clutter. You know, people look around, and they have closets and garages and things that are not organized, filing systems that are not organized. And we know it sometimes can become pathological for some when it gets into the hoarding problem. But for most of us, it's just a fear of don't move my piles. I know where everything is. My wife Donna's chuckling as she hears this. Don't touch Randy's piles. He knows where they are. But at the same time, being organized with stuff helps. So where does a person start, Lyndon, to with the stuff in their life to get to declutter?
Well, a classic position is always that junk drawer in the kitchen. I like to start with people's desks. If they have a home office or even in their office, in their business or at work, a desk is a key place to start. Generally, people hold on to things that they think are going to be important 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road. But when they go back to it, they realize they look at that piece of paper or that document and go, wow, why did I hold on to this? Mm-hmm. Why do I need this thing? Why did I make so many copies of it? You know, one copy's fine. Put it on a hard disk somewhere. Put it in a file. But I think a desk is a key place to begin. It's simple. It's straightforward. It may only take an hour or two at most, and it really gives you a sense of, wow, I just accomplished cleaning out this desk. It's had things on it from 7 years ago that I didn't even know that I had. So that's a key point, getting to the next step.
But Sherry, I think a lot of people look at the stuff on their desk and they're thinking, you know, I'm going to need this. There's that sense of I have it. You want me to throw it away or grind it up? And they don't know where to. It's overwhelming for a lot of people. Where do you help people get started with just cleaning a desk or a drawer or something in their life?
You need to try to take the emotion out of it. You need to look at it logically. We have a method that we call set the cut. And you need to determine if you haven't touched or used something in a certain period of time, let's say 6 months or 12 months, chances are you're going to go another 6 or 12 months and not touch that item.
Yeah.
Now, certainly with financial documents, you want to research and find out how long you should. But that aside, set a cut before you start and use that as your guide. When your emotions start to take over, you have a logical base to refer back to. It's very helpful.
I noticed I was reading through your book, you were talking as well about categorizing value like A, B, and C. That's something I do when I try to reorganize my office from time to time. I have a pile A saying, hey, that stuff is really important and I've got to get to it. B is, well, not quite so much. And C probably can be tossed, but I'm not emotionally ready to grind it up yet. But if I put it there, and like you say, and I don't touch it in a month or two, then it can go. Do you have that kind of practical step process that you take people through?
Certainly. We actually call it project management. And let's pretend you were a foreman on a construction job site and you had a clipboard. Walk around your home and list every area that you want to deal with. And after you're done, look at that list and divide that list into, as Dr. Randy said, A, Bs, and Cs. Then what you would do is take your A category and put them into A1s, A2s, A3s. Organize those. Do the same with Bs and Cs. When you're done, you have an A1 starting point. Put everything else aside. Don't let it bother you.
Right.
Don't let it clutter your brain that it's in there. Start with A1, work to A2, and so forth.
Mm. Do you find, as you work with people, I know you do some coaching on this, Lyndon, do you find people, where's the roadblocks? Where do they run into a problem when they try to declutter?
It's definitely the emotional attachment to things, and it's usually fear or worry that if they let something go, they're going to need it in the future and they won't be able to replace it.
Yeah.
But what we'd like to teach people is that, you know what? First off, God is in control. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what you're going to need in the future. And it may be time for you to let go of a few things now. And if they're needed in the future, He will provide for you in the future. Mm. And we talk specifically about that in a section on in the book about bags and blankets. You know, some people hold on to stacks and stores of blankets thinking they're going to need those.
Like me.
And have a definite fear of giving those things away. But there's people that need those things now. So you could be a part of blessing somebody mm-hmm. right now. And in the future, God will take care of the rest.
You know, I'd imagine this is also something practical for parents to start teaching their children, you know, the hoarding of toys that they no longer need, to be able to give to those in need. Teaching even children at a young age could be helpful later in life. Hang on, I want you guys to come back. I want to talk maybe about another area or two on declutter, and then ask from a spiritual perspective, why is this important? I mean, what difference does this make or should make in our lives? How can Satan, frankly, use the clutter in our lives to keep us from being intentional in serving God the way we'd like? More coming up with Lyndon and Sherry Garrison just a bit. So we'd like to hear your thoughts today on our Facebook page about decluttering your life this year. And you know what? You could win their book and study guide. So get the details at our highlights page when you go to theintentionallife.com. So not only are we thankful for salvation, a saving faith, but we're also thankful for the fact that God gave us the faith that becomes a saving faith. He goes on to say in Ephesians 2, 8, and then 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul is setting up for us here that this saving faith is not something that you and I can work for. And I think it's really important as we continue to stay focused on the basics of what it means to live intentionally in Christ is to understand the fact that there's nothing that you and I can do to work up our salvation. The Bible says we're to work out our salvation, right? But not work up our salvation. So it's really very important as you see that there's a line between a saving faith and an intentional faith to understand that that's a one-way highway.
Interesting, huh? Do you get that? That's a clip from this month's teaching going out to about 3,600 intentional living members around the country who are taking this monthly class, as it were, with my teaching every month on living intentionally in Jesus Christ. And we're starting this year, in this month of January, talking about intentional faith. You know, I can't think of any other topic throughout the entire year that is more meaningful and practical than getting intentional about growing your faith. It says in Scripture that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And at the same time, it says in Scripture that the kind of faith that is without works is dead. Not that we work our way into heaven, please, but I'll tell you what, the Scripture does say to work out your salvation, which is a daily commitment of living out your faith. And that's one of the things we teach on this month's lesson. Every month, a brand new lesson for you and only for members. And you know what? You members are the ones that make sure that this ministry keeps going. And so if you're not a member, what a great way to start this new year. Become a member today. How do you do that? Your monthly support to the ministry, listener-supported nonprofit ministry keeps us going. That's all we ask, your monthly support. Check it out at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. More on decluttering your life in just a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Sometimes life, like clutter, gangs up on you. And when you find yourself in that condition, that's when you really need prayer. Join our prayer community today. Go to theintentionallife.com/prayer. Oh, and praises are welcome also. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hello?
Hey, I'm really sorry about this morning.
It's already forgotten, and I'm sorry too. As soon as I opened my email today, I was sorry.
The Intentional Devotion?
You read it too?
I saw it first thing. and I knew I had to call and clear this up. Hey, we're on this journey together, right?
Find victory in the areas of your life that matter most with powerful stories and words of inspiration in the Intentional Devotion in your email every day. Sign up at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living Center. Today, as we're getting this brand new year on the right foot here, we're thinking about decluttering your life. And we thought it'd be nice to have a couple who have done this in their own life. They're sharing their story, and they put it into print to help others as they coach and help others through their ministry. And the book is Declutter Now, Uncovering the Hidden Joy and Freedom in Your Life, and the study guide that goes along with it. Lyndon and Sherry Garris are here. And by the way, more information available about them at our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. Appreciate you guys being here. Boy, we could spend hours talking about this because there's so many areas. We've touched on, you know, some of the strategies for stuff. We touched just before the break on kids and at home. And Sherry, we want to help our children grow up and have their priorities right, understand that we're stewards, not owners. Everything is from God. And we believe strongly in training kids. How can this process of decluttering be a positive thing for parents and for children?
It can be hugely positive and also impactful. If you think about kids when they're growing up, whatever comes natural is what they're going to take with them into the future. So instead of them, your children, ending up having big decluttering mountains to conquer in the future, like most of us adults have to, if you teach them when they're young, it just becomes natural, just as natural as them getting in a car and putting a seatbelt on. We like to refer to it as the gift that keeps on giving.
So what are specific things we can teach our kids on that gift that keeps on giving?
There's so many things that can come out of it. We periodically, when the kids were younger, I would teach them to go through their rooms. And part of the stuff that they had that was too much would be donated, so they learned to be a blessing to others. We would have yard sales occasionally. They would get the entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were trying to be organized for school or looking for things, it was so much easier in a room and a desk that was uncluttered. Yeah. So there's so many different areas that you can address with kids, and they will see the value and the benefit. And if they don't know any better, then this is the way they're going to live. Mm-hmm.
Very practical things that we can do in our homes to declutter, but it's a decision we make, right? We got to make a decision that says, I've got to declutter. I got to get things out of my life. Talk a little bit about some relationships that may not be healthy. We could talk about activities, hobbies. We could talk about stuff, finances. There's everything in our life. We got to just reevaluate what are the priorities, which brings me back to, I think, a core issue for Christians. We're talking about living intentionally in Christ. Anything that keeps us, as Paul says, forgetting what's behind, I press toward the goal, right? There's that sense of getting the stuff off my back so I can run the race. Even that picture is given in Scripture, so I can run the race. You don't run the race with a lot of clutter. You know, you strip down so you can run the race. What has this done for you guys in your own marriage, in your family, in your spiritual walk by being less cluttered with things and the things that hold you down?
I think the key to that is there's a sense of peace between my wife and I. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we didn't really experience until we started releasing the things that weren't necessary in our life and started focusing on what God was calling and asking us to do.
Yeah.
Also, it opened the door for us to be able to reach out to others and provide things for other people that we wouldn't have had the time or money or, quite honestly, the energy to provide in the past.
Yeah.
So you have to let go of certain things in your life so that God can use you in new areas and maybe even enhance areas that you hadn't worked on in the past.
And I think being intentional, you got to sit down and think about this, which is a question, Sherry. Where does a person start today that says, okay, I want to start doing this? What's one thing that they could do even starting today?
Honestly, pick an area. You know in your life, when you think about where you feel cluttered, the thing that you complain about most is often the area that's most overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Start with that area. You know, we have 8 chapters in our book, and we address 8 different areas, and we tell people this is the one book that you can pick up and start anywhere you want,
right,
whatever reaches your heart most and where you know the biggest need is.
And when you do, you might look at your garage and just be overwhelmed, because I think a lot of people stop because they get overwhelmed. They look at their finances and say, I'm overwhelmed, so they just push it in a drawer and forget about it. Or they go in the garage and it's overwhelmed, so they just forget about it. And I think setting even a time limit to say, you know, I'm going to spend the next hour. I'm just going to spend an hour and start digging into that closet or into that drawer, into the garage, or the filing system. And just for the next hour, and when the buzzer's done, I'm done. That's it. And I'll go back to the rest of my life. Because that gives you some motivation. It gets you started. And so I think it's a reminder. If you're going to get intentional, you got to do it. Right?
That's amen.
The key. Absolutely.
We say that a great idea is only that, just a great idea, unless you put action behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Need the action.
We call that the good intention. Good intention around here. Hey, guys, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
And if you want to find out more about Lyndon and Sherry Garris and Declutter Now, you can go to our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. Also, post your thoughts on our Facebook page, and you could be the winner of the Garris's book and study guide, Declutter Now. In fact, several winners. We have 8 copies to give away. This question is posted on our Facebook page. Share your thoughts under that post so we can easily find your entry. We'll notify the winners on Monday. Link to it from our highlights page at theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Denise in Phoenix, Arizona. I had a 60 to 70 hour a week job that was overwhelming me. I couldn't keep up with the house. I couldn't keep up with paying the bills on time just because I was so overworked. A blessing in disguise. I was laid off. The good thing is I'm able to take care of my house. I'm able to take care of the bills, and our finances are no longer out of control because now I can take the time and get back to basics and actually spend time every day in the Word. So thank you for your program.
Doesn't that feel good when you've decluttered? I can't think of anything better than just, you ever notice that, like getting ready for a vacation? That's the time you really get the stuff taken care of you need to get taken care of. I'd like to have that feeling all the time. And you can, and it comes down to making a decision to say, I want to get the junk out of my life, get stuff organized, declutter my life so I can stay focused and be intentional in 2015. It's certainly a worthwhile goal for this guy, something I need to work on as well, along with you during 2015. And I want to I want to thank Sherry and Lyndon for being with us. Great content today. And you can check out more information about them when you come to our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. And you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are passionate about one thing. That is taking what we believe, what our faith is, and growing that faith by action, by following through every day. Putting your faith to action in your marriage, in your family, in your health, in your finances, in your relationships. That's our passion. And we're glad you're a part of it. Coming up on Intentional Living, dealing with disappointment, effective communication in marriage, and overcoming depression with our friend Dr. Greg Jantz. All coming your way here from Intentional Living.